16th chapter of the book of Acts. And then I want you to keep your Bibles open, because I'll be reading other scriptures in that neighborhood. 16th chapter of Acts. And I'm going to begin reading with the 25th verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." They spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I like that story. That's just going to be the beginning tonight, but I like that story. Rather than feeling sorry for themselves, rather than being depressed or in the dumps, the Bible said they had a praise service. I believe that always works. Amen, amen. The next morning, the magistrates, the Bible said, sent the sergeants to the prison, those that were had the responsibility to do the punishing, to dole out the punishment, sent them to the prison to release Paul and Silas. And because of what has happened the night before, they were anxious to get these preachers not only out of jail, but they were anxious to get them out of town. They were not designed to have another earthquake in the city. Then in the 17th chapter, the first verse, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with them, they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and his certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have but turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.'" I want you to notice the words of the unbelieving Jews in the sixth verse of that chapter concerning Paul and Silas. Bible tells me that after they had arrived in Macedonia, after they had come over into Macedonia, into Thessalonica, how did these unbelieving Jews that were there, how they began to say these words, "A great work, and these things, how did these that have come to us have turned the world upside down?" I thought about that tonight. This statement might not mean very much to some, but I believe it tells us a whole lot. Remember this. Before Jesus went away, he said, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature." The disciples have taken that to heart. They believe what God has said, and now they're out there doing exactly what the Lord had instructed them to do. And now the Bible says when they got over into Macedonia, and that those from Thessalonica that did not believe, they began to say, "These are coming to us, though they have turned the world upside down." That statement might not mean much, but listen. If you will, it means a whole lot to us tonight, because they went, we have the gospel. Because they went everywhere, sharing the good word of God, we have the gospel tonight. Three scripture examples I'd like to use right here. On Paul's first missionary journey, he and Silas had preached and established churches. Many had been healed. Miracles had been wrought. In the 13th chapter, in the 49th verse, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I want to stop there. I've already mentioned how that God had given a commission to go into all the world. They've gone over to the Asia Minor. They've come to Cilicia, and they've come also to Lycia in Southeast Asia Minor. And the Bible says in that verse that I just read, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all that region. I come to the 19th chapter in the 10th verse, and it says, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Amen. The map covers not only Southeast Asia Minor, but it covers all of Asia Minor. The word of God is both blessed and spreading out and growing. I come to the 6th verse of the 17th chapter. After their arrival now in Macedonia, these unbelieving Jews of Thessalonica said, these have come to us, they have turned the world upside down. Listen, if I tell you tonight, they have done what God has called them to do. I believe this. It will only God do His part. He never fails. If there's ever any failing, it's on our part, not God's. So, I thought, how did they do it? They had spread the gospel throughout Southeast Asia, Cilicia and Lycia. Then they had spread the gospel throughout all of Asia Minor, taken in Ephesus and Laodicea, and Smyrna, and all those, all the way to, way up to the northwest corner of Asia Minor before they went over into Macedonia. Covered all the territory. Now they've gone over into Europe, into Macedonia, and they say, look, these that are coming to us are the ones that turned the world upside down. How did they do it? How is it possible? So I thought I'd share. Remember, they didn't have transportation that we have. There wasn't an automobile in Asia. Not an airplane in all of Europe. Not a bus, not a railroad in that day. And yet they spread the gospel. When it comes to communication, they did not have radio. They did not have television. They did not have the telephone. They didn't have iPhone, iPad, or something else. They didn't have it. How did they spread the gospel? How did they get the word out to all the peoples of their world of that day? And I believe I can share three ways they got it done. Three things that helped them to get the Word of God out. I would like to begin with the 2nd chapter of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And they were clothed in tongues like as a fire that came and set upon each of them. I'm going to stop right there. I believe that they got the job done because the fire of God was burning in their hearts. All of them were there in that upper room. All of them that were there, each of them, I believe, heard the sound of the rushing mighty wind. Each of them, no doubt, saw the clothing tongues like as a fire coming set upon those around about them. Each of them were touched by the fire from heaven. All of them received the Holy Ghost. And the fire, burning in their hearts, brother, that's the first reason that they got the job done. And the good news tonight is, we have the very same privilege that they had. We have the same fire available to us. All we have to do is let God have His way in our lives. Amen, amen. If we're not careful, we'll always be putting it off with someone else. Why this doesn't happen? Why that doesn't happen? The best thing to do is stand in the front of a mirror and see the answer. All of us. The fire. Listen closely, everyone. We need the truth. Without the truth, we would have nothing to stand on. But we also need the fire. We need sound doctrine. If we don't have sound doctrine, the Bible said the very foundation will crumble and there'll be nothing left of the church. We need that, but we also need the fire. We need to live a separated life under holiness. It's a must, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We've got to have that, but we need the fire. Amen. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God, but it needs to be seasoned with fire. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. The fire. I was reading from the Old Testament. I was talking to James and reading the Bible for you, and he says he reads some in the Old Testament and some in the New every day. That's a good way to read it. If you stay in the Old Testament for 9 months, you might not get too much spiritual help some days. But if you read some of the New Testament every day, there'll be something to bless your heart. It'll be something in the Old Testament as well. But some things are not as easy. Read some in the Old Testament and some in the New. And I've read in the Old Testament, there came a time about the fire on the altar, and Moses said it must never go out. And I'm saying tonight for you and me, God help us to stoke the fire. Keep the fire burning. Don't let the fire go out. Any of you have ever been in the country where they didn't have regular heaters, they had fireplaces. You hauled in firewood. Had to have kindling and the rest, and lightwood, they called it, and start the fire. And as it got going, every once in a while, they'd reach over there and stoke the fire to keep it going, get it going, and someone would get up early in the morning to be sure the fire started getting going. Listen closely tonight, folks. Don't never let the fire burn down. I'll tell you how they got the Word of God across the land, because the fire was burning. Fire is burning upon the altars of the heart. They couldn't keep it to it. It reminds me of what Jeremiah said. He said, I've been called to preach, and God told me they're not going to listen. I preached and preached, and nobody seems to care. I've made up my mind I'm not going to preach any longer. This is a paraphrased edition. I'm not going to preach anymore, but he said it was, his word was like fire burning in my bones, and I could not contain it. I just had to tell somebody, God, help us to have the fire. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's important tonight that we have the fire of God burning upon the altars of our heart. The Bible tells me on the day of Pentecost, while the 120 were in the upper room, sanctified believers, they were worshiping and praising God. And in that third verse, there appeared unto them four tongues like as a fire. Hallelujah. They all heard the sound of the wind. They all saw the four tongues, but they all felt the fire. God, help us tonight that the fire of the Lord will be burning upon the tables of our heart. No wonder they have revival. Peter preached. The fire was burning. 3,000 got saved. 3,000 committed their lives to Christ. 3,000 turned their hearts over the Lord. 3,000 had their names written down in the life book of life in one day. Brother, that was a service. But it's only beginning. They got the word across the land. Without what we had tonight, somewhere soon afterwards in the chapter 3, our Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting. And I mentioned that this morning, how the lame man was there begging for alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He took him by the hand, and the man came up from where he was and began to run and leap and praise God. I believe that same thing would happen tonight in the Bundle Light Tabernacle. I believe the word was spread to every member of our families. I believe it's a spark of revival. The same God that was with Peter and John at the temple gates that day is our God. Hallelujah. And when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, I tell you what he did have. He had the fire of God burning upon the altars of his heart. I believe when he took that man by the hand, it felt like an electric shock. Have you ever felt such a thing? Yes. I believe the power of God went through his body. I'd like to have been there. Never walking. Been there all this time. Coming up from there, began to run. Man. Began to leap. Began to jump. No wonder. When we've heard the results of revivals in yesteryear across the land and in church history, how that God began to move and people began to run and people began to shout and people would go out in the world to praise in God, magnifying God. Why? Because the fire is burning. It's still real. Thank God, thank God. That third chapter, because of the great healing of the lame man, the words got out. And there was persecution, but I came to the next chapter and I found that 5,000 more had got saved or converted through the power of God, through the preaching of the gospel. 5,000 more came to the Lord. Why did it all happen? How did it all happen? It happened because the fire of God was burning upon the altars of their hearts. Hallelujah. Second thing that I would like to mention in the second chapter of Acts. Turn with me if you will. Second chapter of Acts. I want to turn to verse number 42. 42 in the second chapter of Acts. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, would eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hallelujah. Why did it happen? How did it happen? In that 42nd verse tells me that they were enjoying the fellowship with God and with one another. Let me stop right there tonight. I mentioned the first thing that brought about revival was the fire of God burning upon the altars of the heart. I believe number two is fellowship is more important than even understand.
That's right.
Too often we take it lightly.
Yeah.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
Some of the best times of our lives. Some of the most rich times of our lives have been sitting at tables with different ones.
Yeah.
Young converts, some have been in the church for years, talking about the Bible. Family members, and I've mentioned this before, how we would come home and my brother-in-law was called to preach and my father-in-law, Christian, and my other brother-in-law and his family there, Christians, and we would go to the breakfast table and sit down and eat, and when they would take the plates away and they were cleaning up everything, we would sit at the table, and when it was lunchtime, we were still there, not talking about the Super Bowl, talking about God.
Amen.
Sometimes in the afternoon, times of discussion was always on the Word of God, in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. What is more important in the world than talking about Him? Fellowship. Too often the church has come to the place where we don't realize the importance of fellowship. I say that as humble as I know how. It's important. Let me use an illustration. And I'm not here to try to correct anything, but I'm just preaching what I know. I thought today, sitting at the table at lunchtime, the first Sunday of the month, did you know that's enjoyable? That was a good time. You talk to people that you don't get to talk to in church. You know what we do sometimes? We come here 5 minutes before service time, or 10, or 15, whatever. And when the church is over, maybe we'll shake hands in 5 minutes and we're gone. Just to sit down for an hour and enjoy one another. Brother, that's precious. That's more valuable than silver and gold. We get to know each other better. We get to know the needs of each other. When you go home to pray, something that's been said while you're fasting causes you to pray for them. Brother, it's good to get together. They were fellowshipping together, the Bible says in the second chapter of the book of Acts, they have come together, and everything is in common. They're having a wonderful time. They're sanctified, holy. They're not saying that what I've got is mine, and what you've got, the best thing you can do is go do what you can, but I've got mine, and you go get yours. That's not it. They said, we're going to share what we've got together. When you began to share what you've got, that's fellowship. I don't know about everyone else, but I believe what I'm preaching. How many times that we've been asked to come to homes and they've got friends when Curtis and Anita came to church and came in the altar. Anita said, I've got 1,000 questions. And I've got others to say the same type of thing. Did you know? It's good to get together and talk about the Bible. There's nothing better. And here they are fellowshipping one with another, and when there are needs in a home, they realize what the need is, and they are ready to give what they have. No wonder in the second chapter, and then the third and the fourth, 3,000 saved, and another 5,000 saved, and the church growing by leaps and bounds, and Paul and Silas goes on a missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, and how the church is growing and expanding. Why? Because they have fellowship one with another and with the Almighty God. We cannot have fellowship one with another without having fellowship with God. Amen. We had to love God, and they were doing that. When you get sanctified, you love God and you love each other. Amen. And if you love each other, you love to be with each other. Yes, you can say amen. It's real. Yes, it is. I love my wife. We're going to be married 60 years the 20th of this month. I hope that don't sound like too long. It hasn't been too long. But I've told you this. I'll tell you again. It bears repeating for me. I love her, and I love to be with her. And I never, 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 never desired to go anywhere without her. Sometimes she was not able to go. When I went to the Far East for 16 days to the World Pentecostal Conference, they paid my way, she was not able to go, and we couldn't afford to pay her way. But I love to be with her. And I believe this tonight, what I'm saying is so true. If you love God, and if I love God and I love women, we love one another, we love to be together. There's nothing more important for the church than having the fire and fellowship. Because they go together. You can't have the fire without fellowship. Mark it down. If the fire is burning upon the altars of your heart, you love to be with God and his children. What a joy divine. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. The songwriter said, thank God, thank God. And the third reason, and I'm not going to be lengthy tonight at all, I have mentioned the fire. I mentioned the fellowship. That's one of the things I believe that got helped them to get the job done. I believe that they were fully committed. Fully dedicated. We used to sing a chorus when we first started the church way back yonder, all those years ago. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've surrendered all, I've turned it all over to God. I don't know about you, but I found out a long time ago, if I don't turn it all over to God, God cannot bless what I hold on to. He will not bless what I hold on to. Do you understand that? Give Him everything you've got. He'll bless you beyond imagination. Fully surrendered. Fully dedicated. Fully committed. Ready to pay the price, whatever it might be. God has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God said also, I'm going to use you, Paul. I'm going to use you, Barnabas. I'm going to use you, Peter. I'm going to use you, Silas, to build the church. I'm going to use you, church, to build the church. Hallelujah. But God said, you need the fire and we need the fellowship one with another. We need each other. I like that verse in Ecclesiastes. I didn't know Ecclesiastes was so good. There's more there than I realized. Until you start studying it out to teach. I listen to someone else teach, but let me mention about how that being alone is not good. How many times my wife, sitting there talking, and she looks at our church and how many have lost their companion. We're praying, God, that must be a terrible thing to be alone. Yes. Margaret having to leave the hospital yesterday and not really well enough to go home, but sent home on her own. Unable to do anything hardly. Alone. Yes. Only what she has is somebody going by and helping her out. Till God comes by. We need one another. Fellowship is more valuable than I can put a price tag on. And the final part was fully surrendered. I'll tell you how the church got off to such a wonderful start. They were sold out to God. They laid everything on the altar. I looked it up in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible in the back. I knew that it was there. The first Bible that I used when I began preaching. almost 55 years ago. And it was there, so I went and found it. Let me leave something with you. If you sell out to God, it can cost you something. If you dedicate your life to Christ on the job, you might suffer persecution and hardship. Some will be promoted over you because you love God and they're into the crowd. There'll be things that have happened that have been unfair. God has never told you this life is going to be fair. And I looked at these and I thought, it costs something when you sell out to God. We have a church tonight that's full gospel because somebody paid the price. Jesus died on the cross, but listen, for 2,000 years, somebody has carried the gospel. According to Bible history and tradition, Peter was crucified upside down, feeling unworthy to be crucified like his Lord. He said, you cannot crucify me that way. And so they crucified him with his head downward. James was beheaded by Herod. Andrew was crucified in Greece. Philip died a martyr in Hierapolis. Bartholomew was a missionary to Armenia, and they beat him to death. Thomas died a martyr in Madras, India. Matthew died a martyr in Ethiopia. James the Less was crucified in Egypt. Jude died a martyr in Persia, in Iran. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, died a martyr in Ethiopia. Saul was beheaded at Nero's execution yard in Rome. And only John of the disciples died a natural death. Listen closely, serving God, obeying God, committing all to God can cost you. But it's worth the price. Hallelujah. Whatever the cost, do you believe that? Whatever you pay, whatever it costs, it's worth it. I can't even, there's no words. My vocabulary is limited. We're very limited. But there's no word for me to express it. Just seeing the face of Jesus one time. Everything that we've ever gone through, that'll be nothing. My, that'll be as nothing. Have you ever felt like you're going through a hard place and people didn't understand and you were just struggling? Just seeing Jesus the first time is going to take care of all of that. My, that almost makes you want to run right now, even before it happens. Do you really mean that, Brother John? Yes. They got the job done. The church was built because of the fire of heaven burning in their heart. Because of the wonderful fellowship they enjoyed. They love one another. They come to the house of God, fellowshipping one with another. Oh, thank God, thank God. They met in homes. They broke bread together. They would meet together and have communion. Didn't have to wait for them to come to the house of God and have the deacons and the pastor to administer. They would meet together in various houses and enjoy meals together. Fellowshipping together. But there's nothing to take the place of it. Nothing. They were committed. And I close the night. They got the job done. And we're living in the year 2014, the Abundant Life Tabernacle, preparing to have a change of pastor, and God has been good to us. Amen. We can all say amen. Amen. We're praying that God will just bless and minister and give a Holy Ghost revival. Is that your prayer? The fire burning and fellowship. Dedicating everything to God, fully surrendered to God. All on the altar. All on the altar. And I'm going to close. My wife has come to the piano. When I met with the board, I didn't know I was going to say this until right now. When I met with the board yesterday, and they were going over some things and looked down at the bottom of